Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter 27. And we're going to pick up where we left off from last Sunday, where we find the Apostle Paul in the midst of a great storm. And I think most of us here this morning can appreciate the fact that there are times in our lives when we find ourselves in a great storm. And some of you maybe right now are in the midst of a storm, maybe even a great storm. And we just want to encourage you, and I'm thankful for this part of Scripture that can really help us to deal with some of these things as they come along. And so we're going to spend some time looking at part two. The title of this sermon today is Hope in the Storm, part two, Acts 27. It's Paul's journey as he is making his way from towards Rome. And maybe we'll just pull up the map that you'll see. He started over here in Caesarea, and he's on a ship full of prisoners, and they're heading to Rome. And they got to Fair Havens, and then they decided they wanted to get out to Phoenix, is where they wanted to winter, which is not a bad place. They had a Phoenix out there, which is a great place to winter, but they didn't make it. And instead, a huge storm came up, and they began to just go that way. And they eventually, as we'll see today, they ended up on the island of Malta. And I actually went and checked it out. I was kind of curious to see how far it was from Crete to Malta. It's about 500 miles. And so you can just sort of figure that out, or in kilometers. Great storm. And during this whole period of time, we find Paul in the midst of this great storm. Their little ship is being, it's actually a pretty large ship. It's a grain ship. And it's just being thrown around, and everything's out of control. And it's not a good thing. A couple of takeaways from last Sunday, though, just to kind of bring it together, is that in the midst of this great storm, and let me just say, this was a storm that could have been avoided. This was a storm that the Apostle Paul had given warnings. He had actually said it's not a good idea for us to be heading out into the potential dangerous conditions as they were heading into fall and winter. And against good judgment and wisdom, they decided to go anyway. And so here's Paul in the middle of a storm that wasn't his fault. And some of you find yourself in situations which are very painful and very difficult, but in reality, they're not your fault, but you're still there in the midst of them. And so Paul, as we said last Sunday, instead of becoming bitter and resentful, which typically is how it's our normal response when people have done wrong, we want to just get even with them. But instead of Paul becoming bitter and resentful, Paul became a voice of hope. He became a voice of hope in the midst of that great storm, and he allowed God to use him for the benefit of others. And we're going to see a little bit more about that here as we go along this morning. But one of the big ideas in this is that sometimes God allows us to go through storms because he wants us to be a blessing to others. Sometimes God puts us in storms just so that God wants a voice of hope in the midst of that storm to benefit others. And the reality is that God always sees the big picture. Aren't you glad that God sees the bigger picture than you and I do? Because a lot of times we can't figure out, why am I here? Why are we having to go through this mess? Why are we having to deal with this situation? The reality is that God sees what we can't see. And that can encourage us as well. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 27 of Acts 27. And it says, and we'll have the notes on the screen, or the scriptures, but you can follow along in your Bible as well. Maybe take notes or on your Bible app, whatever. Verse 27, it says, on the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Just a little sense of, a little bit of context here again. This has been a long storm. This has not been just a little overnighter wind gusts. This has been a long storm. And as we said last week, some of you can relate to those times when you've been in the midst of a long storm, or you're in a long storm right now. What's happening is fear has set in. The fear is visceral. The fear is just overwhelming. It's just it's a crazy storm. It's out of control. And now they're sensing, as sailors, they can sense something's different, and it's in the middle of the night. It's a long night, and there's a fear that they are possibly getting close to land, and as a result, there's a fear that they're going to crash into the rocks. And I love what it says here. It says, and they prayed for daylight. They prayed for... Can anyone relate to that? Like, it's in those overwhelming storms that... You know, even it's amazing how even irreligious people start to pray. You know what I'm saying? People that don't even have a relationship with God, there's that sense that, you know what, maybe we should pray. And so this ship is full of people, many of them who are not believers, but they find themselves praying for daylight. Pick it up in verse 30. In an attempt to escape from the ship, there were some sailors who let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. So here's this picture. This ship had a lifeboat on it, and, you know, it's probably not enough of a lifeboat for everybody, but it was a lifeboat large enough for a few people. And in reality, these sailors were kind of going against the maritime rules that the sailors go down with the ship, or this was something that they were actually trying to escape. And Paul, going back in the earlier part of the chapter, God had promised Paul that no one was going to lose their life. Everyone was going to be saved. And so Paul, knowing this, he went to them. He went to the centurion, verse 31, and said, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. And it was like he was putting a condition, saying that God has promised us that if we stay with the ship, we're going to make it. And Paul had that promise of God in his own heart. And so in verse 32, it says, and so the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. I was thinking about that one line there, where it says they cut the ropes that held the lifeboat. Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize it, but I see a little bit of a picture here. And that sometimes God allows us to be put in situations, allows us to be in circumstances where all we have left is to depend on God. How many know what I'm saying? There's times when it absolutely seems crazy to let go of the lifeboat. But in this case, the lifeboat became a temptation to these sailors to jump ship. When God was saying, what you really need to do right now is depend upon me. And we see these soldiers cutting the ropes and letting the lifeboat drift away. Can you think? Some of you right now are in a situation where all you have left is God. I think we've all been in those circumstances where all we had left was God. And I want to encourage you this morning that He is someone that we can depend upon in the midst of our storm. And a lot of times our human lifeboats, you know, those things that we try to hold on to are the things that we actually have to let go of in order to be able to get through the storm. And in this case, we see these people actually going against sort of normal wisdom, human wisdom, and they're finding themselves having to let go of those things that they thought were going to actually save them. And so just for whatever it's worth this morning, ask God, maybe you could, this is a question you could ask the Lord yourself. You could actually say, God, is there something that I'm holding on to that's actually keeping me from actually being saved? Does that make sense? Is there something in my life that I'm holding on to that's getting in the way of me depending more on you? And you can have that conversation with God. I won't answer the question. You can ask that question yourself. We come to verse 33. So this storm has been going. They're on the 14th night. It's been a long storm. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need to survive. It's interesting. It's almost like there's two things going on here. You should have some food and go of the lifeboats. On the other hand, Paul is now saying, you should have some food. You need food to survive. You've been going without food, and fear, because of fear, they've lost their appetite. There's lack of nourishment. For 14 days, storms do. These sailors have become increasingly weak in the midst of the storm. That's what storms do, right? Storms take their toll on people's lives. And the problem is that when we go without food, when we go without nourishment, typically the end is not good. And we can be in the midst of the storm, and it may not just be physical food that we are neglecting. It could be spiritual food that we're neglecting. It could be time with God. It could be time in His Word. It could be time in worship. It could be time in fellowship. It's so oftentimes people in the midst of their storm find themselves just disconnecting from their sources of life. If there's ever a time you need that Christian friend, that Christian brother or sister, that small group, that life group, gathering together like this on a Sunday or on a Sunday night, if there was ever a time we need it, it's in our storms. How many know what I'm saying? We need spiritual nourishment. And so Paul, in this case, is urging them to take physical food because they have become weak. He says, you need it to survive. He said, and then he reminded them of the promise of God. He said, not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And then he goes on in verse 35. It says, and he said this, or after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. It's kind of like Paul has taken over the ship now. You kind of get that picture? You're not hearing much about the centurion. You're not hearing much about the captain of the ship. They're just barely hanging on. It's like Paul now has, this prisoner has now risen to the surface where he's actually in command of the ship. And here in the middle of all of this, he takes some food and he begins to give thanks to God. And I thought, what an amazing testimony of someone who is able and willing to give thanks to God in the midst of their storm. There's something about that that I think is really powerful. That in the midst of whatever painful storm, situation, circumstance that you might find yourself in, that we would be the people of God who will give thanks to God and who will give praise to God even in the midst of our greatest pain and hardship. It's an awesome thing to do. The Bible says that we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Has anybody ever heard of that scripture before? Give thanks at all times. We're to come before God with thanksgiving. And I love Paul's example here where he says, you know what, you guys should eat. And this became an opportunity for him once again for them to see his relationship with God coming through. It wasn't like, there's some people here. I better not offend them by praying in public, by by, you know, like just sort of, the Lord must bless this food. You know, like Paul just took the food, and in the midst of all of these people, he raised that food before God, and he gave thanks to God for the food, gave thanks to God in the midst of the storm. In front of them all, it says, he broke it and began to eat. And then look in verse 36. It says, and they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Again, what we see here is Paul being this voice of hope. We see Paul being this example of hope. And as a result of Paul's influence, we see a whole ship encouraged to the point, well, let's have a party. Let's eat. We're absolutely, we might as well go down full, you know? Like, it's just like they were absolutely, had reached that point where they figure it's just about over anyway, so it's no point going down with the ship on empty bellies. So let's go for it. And it's almost like they decided to have a little banquet, a little feast. And it says, and they all ate, and they were all encouraged. That one of the greatest gifts, Paul's hope becoming their hope. Did you know that one of the greatest gifts that you can give someone is hope? One of the greatest blessings that we carry with inside of us as God's people is that we are carriers of hope. We are messengers of hope, and we get to share that with our world, with our suffering world, with our broken world, with our crazy world, with a mixed up world, with a confused world. And the myth, Paul's encouragement became their encouragement. Paul's peace, his calm, became theirs. And so again, I want to encourage you that never underestimate the power of God's influence in your life towards others. Again, God placed Paul in a storm that was not his fault for the benefit of others. And we see it coming to pass here. Verse 39. When daylight came, I love that. When daylight came, remember they were praying for daylight, right? So they've come this far. They've gotten through. They've had a nice meal during the night. It says, and they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders, and then they hoisted the foresail to the wind, and they made for the beach. Basically, they cut everything loose, put up the sail, and they said, let's go for it. And they thought, this is our only chance. And so, boom, they're heading for the beach. Well, we know what happens. It wasn't like this soft landing. It says in verse 42, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away. Verse 43, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered them to jump overboard first and get to land. So, you know, Roman rule said that if a prisoner escaped, that those who were guarding the prisoner, it meant that their life would be taken. So this was soldiers, these guards, these prison guards, they had a pretty important job. And so if any of these prisoners escape, the thought was that we will die. And so their intention, their heart, their idea was, let's kill them. Let's kill them all. And the centurion, because he wanted to spare Paul's life, you see, Paul became a very important figure on this whole story. And the centurion was very impressed with Paul. And in order to save Paul's life, he said, we're not going to kill anybody. And so this ship, actually one of the verses is actually missing here. That ship literally hit the sandbar and just began to break apart. You see it in your Bible there. It just literally broke apart, and all that was left was a busted up ship. And everybody's bailing over, jumping overboard. And then he says, those that can swim, go for it. Those that need a floaty, grab a plank, and away we go. The rest were to get on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone, I love this, everyone reached the land safely. You know what? There were 278 passengers or 76 passengers on board that ship. Every one of them survived because of Paul's influence, because of being in the presence of the Apostle Paul and his God. Friends, you and I, we don't realize it, but your neighborhood is better off because you're there. Does that make sense? Your school, your classroom, if you're in school or in college or high school, is better off because you are there as a follower of Jesus Christ. If an employer has hired you, a businessman has hired you and has taken you on, that business is going to be better off because of you and your presence, because of the God within you. Your family, you might be the first one in your family to come to know Jesus Christ. Your family is better off because of your relationship with God. Think back, my wife just popped in. She's been in the nursery this morning. But she was the first one in her family to come to know Christ. First one. And now many of her family members have come to know Christ. Her presence, her coming to Christ benefited her siblings and her mother and her father. Friends, we should never underestimate the hope and the influence that we can have. I want to close this morning with just this last statement. And that is that God has many ways of bringing us through the storm. And I want to emphasize the word through. God is in the habit of bringing people through. I would say more and more, I would say if I look back over my lifetime, I see a lot more people going through storms than actually having to avoid storms. I wish I could say, you know what, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it means there's going to be less storms in your life. But I can't offer that to you. But what I can offer this morning is a God who will help bring us through the storm. And many of you this morning are here, and you can give testimony to that fact of a God who brings us through storms. I want to read a scripture from Isaiah chapter 43, if you want to turn to it. Isaiah chapter 43, it won't be on the notes behind you. If you want to write this down, you can. And it was a promise of God to Israel, but these promises we can apply to ourselves as well. Where God said in Isaiah 43, verse 1, he said, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, he who formed you, Don, he who formed you, Bill, he who formed you, Mara Louisa, fear not." Everyone say that word with me. Fear not. "For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Isn't that good? God knows your name. Jennifer, God knows your name this morning. He knows your name. I've called you by name, and you are mine. That was earlier, if you want to read the whole chapter, if you weren't here last Sunday, Acts 27, one of the words that Paul said, he spoke to these fearful, troubled soldiers and sailors, and he spoke to them about the God who was the God who it was. He described him as his God, whom he served, the God whose I am. Paul knew who he was. And you and I need to know who we are in Christ. And then this is what he says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God. What was the one word that in that scripture that I just read that was common throughout? It's the word through. There's hope in the storm. God has called you to be the voice of hope in the storm. But the key word that I want us to hold on today is, no matter whether you're in the storm that's not your fault and God's put you there for the reason for someone else, or maybe you're in the storm and you just maybe feel all alone, the word I want us to hold on to is through. Is that God brings us through the storm. And it may very well be that God has placed you in that storm for such a time as this. In the midst of that going through, be thankful. Thank God that His presence is with you. And know that somehow, even if that ship would have went down and they would have all lost their life, one thing about the Apostle Paul, because he was a follower of Christ, that was not the end anyway. Are you right? Because he knew that his hope was far beyond that situation that he was in. But God brings us through. And this morning, we're going to close in a few minutes with prayer. But I just want us to draw strength from that promise this morning. God says, when you go through the fire, when you go through the waters, when you go through the river, He said, I'll be with you. It's still early. I want to take a few moments. Like last week, we shared a testimony of the video story of Canadian missionaries Frank and Julia Garrett, who had been imprisoned in China wrongly. And it was 778 days that they found themselves in horrendous conditions. And finally, through a lot of prayer and a lot of just allowing God to have His way, these missionaries were released, and they're now back in Canada, which is great. And if you didn't get a chance to see the whole story, I would encourage you to go online. It's on our website if you check last Sunday's sermons, and you can watch that. It's a powerful, powerful testimony. But I'm just wondering this morning, and I haven't asked anybody. I just felt last week it put real people in our modern world, recognizing how God was with them in the midst of their storm. And sometimes we need to hear other people share their, even just a snapshot of their story. Some of you maybe right now are in a storm, or you have gone through a storm. You've been in a storm. And maybe it's a storm that wasn't your fault, but you're in that storm. And you've seen yourself, God using you in that storm. And I'd just love to just open it up for 5 or 10 minutes just to hear maybe someone share a brief testimony. I love testimonies. Testimony. How many like testimonies? Give us a cheer if you like testimonies. Yeah, testimonies are good. But someone who's been in a storm, or you're gone through a storm, you're in it now, and you could just bring, yeah, I can relate to this. Elvie, come.
Well, when Pastor Dave quoted that scripture from Isaiah 43:1-2, it happened to me many years ago now. I was diagnosed with cancer, and it was totally unexpected. And I can remember the day I came out of the doctor's office and he told me. I went home and I went to the bookshelf and I grabbed my Bible and I said, Lord, show me that you are with me. And I usually never just open the Bible. I choose a scripture, you know. But that day I just put my thumb in there and I said, Lord, give me a verse. And he gave me Isaiah 43:1-2. And I read it and I was so comforted. And I went out to my husband and I said what had happened. And we prayed together. And I was fine. It hadn't spread. They said they can't. I came 2 weeks later and it would have been too late. It would have spread. So God is faithful and he does hear our prayers. Praise God.
Thank you, Elvie. That's awesome. Thank you. That's fantastic. Yeah. Maureen.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. That psalm was the psalm that I said over and over to myself in August of 2006 and ever since, when our youngest son was killed in Afghanistan. The storm didn't end, doesn't end. The loss doesn't end. Neither does the Lord. He is with us. He gives us his strength. He gives us his encouragement. And there is somehow some strange way that, yeah, we can praise him for what is happening. For I know Andrew is in a better place. He just got to go there sooner than we wanted him to. And I don't know how the Lord works within us to enable us to do some of the things that we are able to do. I just don't know. I don't know how I worked as hard as I worked after Andrew was killed. It was my way of dealing with his grief on one level. And then I look back and I think of the children's lives that have been saved because Andrew was killed. I think of the benefits that have happened around the world because of that. And I can't begin to explain to you the why or the how. I just know what I had to do, and I only know I could only have done it through his strength. Not through mine. Thank you.
Thanks, Marie. Lindy.
Hi, guys. So definitely I've gone through some storms in my life, and kind of before I came to CPC, I was about, 25, I guess, and for probably about 5 or 6 years, my mom was struggling with really bad depression, so I definitely know how you feel. And it was just something in my life that I could have never imagined. You know, my mom, who was my rock through everything, and she wasn't herself, and she was just so broken and ended up hospitalized multiple times. And I just kind of felt alone because my sister was married and I didn't have a life partner, and just, you know, everyone else in my family was just going through it. So it was a struggle for me. And then after that, right before my mom got out of the hospital the third time, I lost my grandma. She was diagnosed with cancer, and within a couple of months, she passed away. And she was my rock. So the two people in my life who I could have never imagined being sick, my grandma was gone, and my mom was still healing. And so that was a really tough time for me. And But I ended up struggling with depression myself after that. You know, I felt like I got through it, but then I just kind of, you know, was depleted. And afterwards, I was struggling with it myself. And so I was stubborn, and it took me a while to, you know, ask for help and get treatment. And then, you know, I got back up and just knew that God had a better plan for me. And he was faithful through all of this, even though I was, you know, just struggling to find hope in the situation. And after going through all of that, I just knew that there was more for my life. I knew that there was something different that God wanted for me, and not to, you know, bury myself in my work, which was kind of my coping mechanism at the time. And so I moved out here, left my family and my friends, which was hard. But I knew that God had a plan for me. And then I felt like the storm kind of got worse. I had no support, and I felt really lonely, and I'm a very extroverted person, so I love people, I love community, I love all of you, and I just felt myself making some poor choices and you know, feeling distant from God, and just kind of just amidst the storms, you know, here physically, you know, on the water and in the winter and the storms that we were all going through, and it came one day, and I was walking in Royston on the road, and I met Sheila Peterson, out of all people, and connected and realized we even had the same last name, and you know, she was just such a joy, and you know, I just saw her, and I met her sister Jenny and their whole family, and Dave and Nicole, and all of you guys have been such an amazing support to me, and God just changed my life. He brought me, you know, this church. He invited me to a women's Bible study, which really was the beginning of my healing and just really coming to give my whole life to God and put God number one in my life. And just to look for opportunities to grow and to just to disciple other women and people, because we all go through storms in our life. And I just want my life to be an encouragement. I want to impact people because of my life, because I know that I'm here, not for me, but, you know, how my storms. And I'm grateful for all the pain that I've gone through, because I know that God's been with me, and I know that it serves a purpose for somebody else, that I can bring that hope to somebody else who's in the midst of that situation. So all of you guys have been such a blessing to me, just having this community. It's completely changed my life. And so I just pray that I can be an encouragement to every one of you guys. If you're ever going through anything, know that I'm here and that I will pray for you and just love on you wherever you're at. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Let me encourage you, even in your small groups, to share your stories, share with one another, share what God's bringing you through. This whole thing today was not intended to add weight to people's lives. If anything, that we can take that weight and lift it and see it lifted to the Lord, and to be still, to let some things go, to let go of things that we don't understand. Some of you have come through some incredible pain and heartache, and yet you've come through, or you're coming through, and you will continue to come through, and God will use you and use you to make a difference. And so I just admire and all honor all of you for sharing, and we could probably go all afternoon, and there'd probably be 10 or 12 men that would come and share as well. So guys, don't feel bad, okay? Just with your heads bowed. Can we just say, Lord, would you, if we're in the storm, would you take us deeper? Would you help our faith to become stronger? Take us deeper, Lord. Help our faith to become stronger, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that promise that we hear in that song, that you will never fail us. You're a God who never fails. Can we just show our appreciation to the Lord? Can we just praise him right now and just say, thank you, Lord? Let's just give him a clap offering, a praise offering, and say, Lord, thank you that you never, never will fail us. Thank you, Lord. And many here today are living testimonies of that promise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, we just pray that you will bless as we go to our homes this afternoon. We pray, oh God, that you would just have your way upon each one that has shared today. Thank you that people have been open and honest. Thank you that we can carry hope, that our communities, our families, our neighborhoods, our places of business, our schools are better because we carry hope into those places. And I pray that you will help us to continue to do that in Jesus' name. We just commit this week, this day, this week into your hands. We pray for our evening service tonight as more folks will gather in tonight. Lord, everyone comes with stories and stuff. Pray for Joel as he ministers tonight, Lord. Just pray that our church would continue, along with other great churches in our valley, to be people of hope in this valley. Lord, our valley needs us. And help us not let our valley down. Let us carry this great message to our world in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.